This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents, brought to you by OCBC Bank.
Be financially minded. BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Cents, brought to you by OCBC Bank.
Good morning and welcome to the show. I'm Julian Ng, and today, of course, is the last Thursday of the month. It is Ringgit Ringin. So call us 0377109000. You can also SMS 0162019000. We have a professional financial planner standing by. She's Kelly Wong, CEO of Blueprint Planning International, Senarai Berhad, with us. So if you have any issues on your finances, your insurance policy, investing, children's education, etc., please call us and we can actually add some insights into that. And to get the ball rolling, here's a real money story on OCBC's Malaysia's Facebook page. This is what it has to say. My parents' generation was very different as they were not so forward-looking. It was much harder to go to university back then. Thus, my generation did not get the opportunity to attend one. But I believe that education can change lives, and my husband thinks the same way too. To be honest, I've yet to plan for anything for our retirement. Currently, we are just earning money for our children's education fees, and all parents also sacrifice for their children. So good morning, Kelly. So this is that question of whether one should plan directly for education or retirement planning. You know, all these very complicated questions come in. Which one should go first?
Yeah, good morning, Julian. I would say that this is quite a dilemma for the retirement, I mean for the planning nowadays. Parents, usually they will put children education in priority, I would say. But in financial planning, I would say retirement planning is always the priority. Imagine that when you are old, you can't be possibly not enough, you don't have enough money for your even food, shelter and clothes.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of what kind of retirement lifestyle that do you want?
Now, we have actually a very interesting comment on that OCBC's Malaysia's Facebook page. It's from Hing Yap. It says that commenting about the parents' sacrifice for the children's education, right? Mm-hmm. And he says, that's not very smart because parents do love children, but the money should be put into two pots, one for the children's education and the other for the parents. What do you think of this style of planning for the future?
I will say he's right. It's just a matter of you want to find a sweet spot. Like how much percentage in your retirement planning and how much percentage for the children. You can actually plan along the way, like thinking about, let's say I want this 100,000 for retirement lifestyle, and I probably want this X amount for the children education. So you can actually do a like projection, a forecast.
Okay, that's very interesting. Now let's before we get to our first questions, just want to remind you to call us if you have any financial issues and want to ask us about it. Kelly Wong, CEO of Blueprint Planning International, is standing by to answer your questions. The number to call is 0377109000, or you can also SMS us at 0162019000, also tweet us at BFM Radio. And now we have a question through SMS from Ao Yong. What is your opinion on buying life insurance online?
Kelly? Buying life insurance online.
Online, that's right.
I would say buying life insurance online, I think what they are offering right now is limited. You can do your own homework, like how much you really need to cover on your death, disability. But on the medical portion, I don't think you can buy online so far. Not that I know. You probably want to find out more and what are the benefits that you will get. You'll be good to speak to the specialist also.
Right. A specialist being, is that a financial planner or?
Financial planner and even the insurance specialist.
Insurance specialist. Mm. But the conventional wisdom would be that it'd be cheaper online, right? In terms of, because they cut out the commissions of the agents.
Yes.
Is that true?
Could be.
So that could be an option. That could be a very attractive option.
Yep.
Okay, now let's go into something that's totally different. This is a question from email from Chen WF. So Chen, thanks for your email. And his question is that he has already hit the maximum tax bracket of 26%. And what he wants to know is that, is it still worth it to rent out properties?
Is it still worth it to rent out properties? It depends. I assume that he has already properties in hand.
Yes, he would have. Yeah. And he is getting some rental from a property right now. But he's also, you know, of course, spending on maintenance and other things. There are also other deductions like agency fees and rental and agency fees and, you know, the normal maintenance costs that can be tax deductible, I assume.
Yes, like the sinking, quick rent.
Mm-hmm. So the question is,
he has to do his own profit and loss for the property investment. Of course, you have to like deduct all the sinking costs, quick rent, or any cost that you need to maintain the property.
So, but the question is, after you hit your maximum tax bracket, mm-hmm. right, renting out more income will attract more taxes. Does it then become attractive to have rental income and pay more taxes?
If you have positive cash flow and you still, after you pay tax and you still have left, then I would say it will still be attractive.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Does it make sense to actually avoid taxes and selling your property?
Not really. I think it's better to assess the potential of the property mm-hmm. for future value and is it worth it to keep it for long term?
Right. All right. This is Ringgit Ringin. The number to call is 77109000 if you have any financial issues. Also text us if you can at 0162019000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Kelly Wong is standing by to answer your question. Let's take one more question. How much would you reckon is enough money to save before leaving the country, for example, migrating to Australia?
Oh, okay. I went through some seminar before that actually told about the cost of living overseas. First, are you going to find a job?
Mm-hmm.
Do you still need income?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you probably still need income, I would say you probably need at least about a year of the expenses that you think that you might need to spend at a particular country. Because a lot of my clients do have difficulty to find job in another country. So mm-hmm. this is probably some contingency that you want to put into the picture and the cost of acquiring the property mm-hmm. and your lifestyle. And do you have children and dependent with you?
Mm-hmm. All those things come into consideration. And mm-hmm. that's actually a very good tip to have at least 1 year of expenses saved
yes.
up actually before you even go there. Mm-hmm. Now, let's take the next question. If we were to move into a rental house, a lot of property questions today. If we were to move into a rental house, does the obligation for insurance fall to the owner of the house or the tenant?
Something like fire insurance.
Yeah, yeah. House insurance, I suppose.
Yeah, it would be the owner.
It'd be the owner, right? Yeah, that's a simple answer. Now, we will be back with more questions. Don't forget to call us if you have any financial issues. The number is 0377109000. You can also SMS us at 0162019000. We have Kelly Wong, CEO of Blueprint Planning International, standing by to answer your question. Stay tuned. We'll be back soon. BFM 89.9. You're listening to Ringgit and Sense, and I'm Julian Ng. Today is, of course, the last Thursday of every month where we will have Ringgit Ringin. You can actually call in with any financial questions that you have. We have Kelly Wong, CEO of Blueprint Planning International, standing by to answer your question. And now we have this question through tweet by T. William. Does this person have any vested interest? Do you have any vested interest? Good to make some disclosure upfront so listeners are aware of possible biases. So can you give us a little bit of your background, Kelly, as to what exactly you do as a licensed financial planner? I think we have addressed this issue of independence before as far mm-hmm. as licensed financial planners are mm-hmm. concerned. Perhaps you can add a little bit more light to that.
Okay, what we do is we write plans for clients. Mm-hmm. We have this model called PAP.
What does that stand for?
Plan Advisory Product.
Right.
So we implement it in such a way that when the client come to us and they tell us that I need this product and that product, so we'll assess the needs first, and then there's probably a small advisory fees that we'll charge. And from there, we take on and see what the client needs, and we recommend a solution. Mm-hmm. And we explore with the client together whether this is a comfortable solution for them. Mm-hmm. And then we try to implement and monitor it. Mm-hmm.
So your fees would come from advisory. Are there any other fees that you would earn as well?
Yeah, we have both fees and commission.
Commissions, yeah. From selling the products. And these products are largely to implement the plan. Am I right?
Yep.
In saying that? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we actually have another question. And this person says, I am 60 and my wife is 59. We have 200,000 ringgit in savings. We have no loans to service and or credit card bills. So congratulations. What options are there for us now in the light of falling ringgit and the pending gloom in the horizon? So they have a very pessimistic view, largely driven by the very weak ringgit. So the question is, what are their options? No debt, 200,000 in savings.
Okay, I would assume they have not only 200,000, they might have other assets as well. Mm-hmm. So they might want to relook into it and see what is their risk profile and what is the objective for the investment. And of course, a little bit of diversification is good.
Now, what would you assume, let's say, to be the risk profile of someone who's 59, 60?
It could be conservative, but surprisingly, it can be aggressive as well. This portion of money, they might need, let's say, 15 years and 20 years down the road. You mm-hmm. can huge a few millions of retirement fund, but there are some small portion that you may need it like later at the 20 years. Mm-hmm. And this portion, you might want to put into aggressive. Mm-hmm. But if you need this money, like say, in next 3 to 5 years down the road, then you'll be very, very conservative.
Okay. Can you explain the terms a little bit? What is conservative and what's aggressive? And there's also balance, right?
Yeah, there's also moderate.
That's right, yeah. What do these terms mean in terms of the kind of products that you would invest into?
Okay, conservative, I would say maybe around 80% of bond or income and mm-hmm. 20% on the equities. Mm,
because equities are more risky, right?
Yes. So if the objective is like at least 3 to 5 years down the road, mm-hmm. and if the client say no, I need this money in a year time, then better put in FD.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it depends. So to that person who SMS'd in, it depends on what your needs are for the next 2 or 3 years. If you have needs, don't put it into something that is too risky. Now, what about this issue? Let's say that they have decided to be aggressive, right? What happens to this issue of ringgit? How should you factor in ringgit to your decisions? Let's say they have decided to be aggressive.
They've decided to be aggressive.
Yeah, so to take risk.
Yeah, they can invest. There are a few ways to invest mm-hmm. In other currency. They can put into, like, let's say, funds that invest in other countries.
Should they?
If they're aggressive, yeah, they can put.
Okay, so the question right now is that ringgit has fallen to such a level. Mm. And of course, the main long-term investing principle is geographical diversification, right? Take your money out of Malaysia. But is there something that is more tactical for the short term, i.e. to give a bigger importance to ringgit investments? What do you think?
Short term, I would say anything to do with different currency, you might want to look into a longer term. And we can never tell whether the currency is the lowest or the highest at this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the past is not an indicator of the future, right? Yeah, okay. Let's take this next question. And before that, just to give you some call-in details, this is, of course, Ring It, and the number to call is, we'd like to receive some calls. We haven't got any calls today. 0377109000. Please call us. SMS is at 0162019000. Kelly Wong, CEO of Blueprint Planning International, is standing by to answer your financial issues. Now, there's this question. I am 66 and my husband is 71. We have a rental income of 8,000 ringgit a month. If we don't have this income, how much cash must we have to get this income for another 20 years? Wow, this is a question that requires a lot of complicated mathematics.
I think I need some calculator to calculate. Yeah. Okay, so it'll be about 96,000 per year.
Yeah.
You can apply this rule, so-called rules of 4%, where if you need 100,000 per year, you should have an asset of at least near to 2 million.
2 million.
Yeah.
Right. So on a very, very rough calculation, if you need,
just to make sure that you can survive for next 20 or 30 years down the road.
For an income of 100,000 a year, you would need 2 million ringgit. That's the rule of the 4%. So that's pretty good rule of thumb. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question. Which is the better option for a retiree to purchase property? Or find some way to get a loan. So retiree wants to buy property. Mm-hmm. What are their options? They can't get a loan, right?
No, I don't think retirees can get a loan.
So what are some of their options to buy property? I guess the further question to ask is that why? Oh, actually, the question is, should they buy cash or on loan? Yeah,
but I think they need to access to the option to the bank whether they are eligible for loan.
Yeah. Usually, what is the cutoff age for banks?
About 70.
70. So if you're below 70, if you're around 60, then there are options to actually get a loan. Mm-hmm. Okay, but if just taking this a little bit further, if you got a loan, mm-hmm. you have to pay interest costs on it. Is that worth it to actually buy a property?
It depends how much cash they have on their hand. Let's say, and it depends whether are they, it's all about opportunity cost.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you are having loan with 4.5% and you know that with extra money that you have, you might be able to earn more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to tap into the opportunity cost. But if you're a person who put your money away in the FD, and I would say it's better to pay off the loan.
Okay, we have one last question and we also have 2 minutes left only. Mm-hmm. I'm practicing buying and selling unit trust through an online portal many times within 3 months' time. Is this a good practice? Just trading unit trust in an online portal.
Trading unit trust?
Yeah.
Okay.
Buying and selling unit trust, that is.
He can do that if he's confident enough that, he can get this X return at the end of the day. And normally what I told my client is unit trust, you need to give some time to the funds.
Yeah. And it's also very expensive, right, to go in and out of unit trust because you would incur all sorts of costs. Mm-hmm. So the logical thing to do would actually to buy unit trust and hold them for the long term.
For some terms. It depends what kind of charges that he got from the online portal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all we have for you today. And we would like to thank our guest, Kelly Wong, who's CEO of Blueprint Planning International, Sinaran Berhad. And we will be coming back with Ringgit Ringin on the last Thursday of every month. Feel free to call us or text us or even email us at ringgit@bfm.my if you have any questions before that. I'm Julian Ng, signing off for Ringgit and Sense, BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Sense, brought to you by OCBC Bank. Real Malaysians, real stories, real insights. Ringgit and Sense, brought to you by OCBC Bank. Real Malaysians, real stories, real insights.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.